Hey, y'all. Thank you for tuning into today's show. I just want to let you know that our episode today is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. If you have not caught up on all the latest craze and you want to download the app, do so now when you use underdogfantasy.com/dominate. That's promo code dominate to match your deposit up to $100 dollar for dollar. All the great best ball action and the easiest to use player prop betting app that you could possibly have on the market. Again, go to Underdog Fantasy and just use the promo code dominate when you sign up today to get a match dollar for dollar up to $100 on your deposit. Thank you for supporting the show.
Operation Domination is underway. The ultimate game plan to dominate your NFL experience with your hosts, Dan Maiden.
Last but not least on Sunday
Chase
night.
Thornton.
I got it.
Chris Dowhouse.
Get him, Chase.
And Adam
LaRue. No, not necessarily, but it's again the same.
Don't hope to win. Be great and dominate.
All right. It's episode 2 for Operation Domination. Thank you all for joining the show live. If you have not done so, if you're listening to this on the podcast, make sure you keep downloading us there too. But subscribe to our YouTube channel. That way you can join the conversation when we go live with these things, because that's where you want to be. We got a great show in store for you today. We're continuing on with the free agency. And of course, we have some trade transactions to talk about too. We're definitely going to get to our biggest risers and fallers as a result to our offseason thus far. And we have a special guest to get to in just a second. First off, I'm your host, Dan Maeder, joined here with Christy, Adam LaRue, Chase Thornton. Fellas, how are we doing today?
Let's get it going.
Let's get it going. All right. Well, we gotta get the guests introduced properly now. Come on, who's gotta get the rock music going? We gotta get the
okay.
Now is the moment you've all been waiting for. He is the host of Rip Tip. And with Mr. Greg Kellogg on Thursday night, the Thursday Tick Down, the one, the only, Mr.
Damn. Wow. Okay. All right. I like that, man. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to come on. I've been admiring for your work from afar from a long time. It's a great opportunity to get to meet you here and get to talk some football tip. What have you been up to, man? How you been?
Oh, man, I've been busy, man. It's been a whirlwind. You know, we talked a little bit about football, how it is. But for me, just been working, man, doing Twitter. You know, I do the Thursday night check down with Greg Kellogg. Me and Rip and Tip, we still are getting together on Live Take. So that's something that we've started out. And then, of course, Bob Harris, man, I talk to him weekly. Man, just can't wait to do the shows with him again starting Monday when the season starts.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to sludge your way through Dark Alley with all those big stars and then sludging it up with us in the Dark Alley.
Man,
here.
No.
Happy for that.
No. You guys have been killing it. I've been watching it for a minute now. I remember the episode with Scott Engel. It was, man, that was top notch.
I appreciate that. All right, fellas. So let's get into it. We got a lot to talk about. And one of the big things I wasn't sure we're going to talk about until a couple of days ago, but all of a sudden, Justin Fields did, in fact, get traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers one day after Kenny Pickett got traded to the Eagles. I'll just mention that because Kenny Pickett, now the backup of Jalen Hurts, we no longer have to talk about Kenny Pickett, whether or not he's fantasy relevant or how he ruins somebody else. So that's good riddance there. But Tip, for you, I want to know, what's your take on the whole Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers? What do you make of that situation now?
You know, I also do correspondence for the Las Vegas Raiders for a High Point Content Creation team. And you know what, man? I was all in on Justin Fields coming to the Raiders. You know, I know they got Luke Getsky. They didn't have the best of relationship, the best situation there in Chicago, but it's something that he was going to be familiar with. I think he could have grown up from that. So, again, I think Chicago dropped the ball in this one, man. I know Caleb Williams was dropping dimes today. I get it. But I got to tell you, I believe in Justin Fields. I've talked to enough NFL fans, Chicago fans, to say believing in him. Now, to take him over to the Steelers situation, he's not going to start right away. They're going to give Russell Wilson the chance to start. They're going to give Russell Wilson the shot. But I will say this. As soon as he has a bad game, or maybe they lose two games in a row, he fought hard, but they used two in a row, and they're just not where they need to be, we might see Justin Fields this year.
So preseason week one, bad game, yeah. No, I think I froze him on that joke.
That's so good.
I will tell you, Mike Tomlin will have a short leash on him. You know, especially with all the antics and stuff that happened last year. He played really well, Russell Wilson did. But I still think that, again, it's Russell Wilson. We could see Justin Fields. Now, if we see Justin Fields, I love Justin Fields with Arthur Smith. We'll talk, I guess, a little bit more about that. But I'll tell you, I mean, one big thing is the bootleg. And another good thing is they're going to have a decent run game behind him. And if you start doing stuff like that, we could talk play action, making it, giving him progressions and times to a better time to look at offense and throw it to his receivers. Oh, yeah. I think Justin Fields can do it, man. I like him a lot.
Yeah, it's gonna. This is a multi-layer thing. I want to get Adam in here, though. Adam, because a couple of things here. One, Chicago, you know, questionable about why they decided to pull the trigger now if that was all they were going to get in return. So we have that question mark there. Two, I'd love to get your take on whether or not you think this is a battle, whether you think Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, which one of these guys is going to start.
Well, I agree, Tip, that it's definitely, at least to start out, going to be Russell Wilson. I'll just get that out of the way quickly because I think it's pretty clear that Russ is the intended starter and that they're going to go in with the intention of fixing some of the bad habits and some of the, you know, kinks in the game of Justin Fields that he developed, frankly, in his tenure in Chicago. I don't necessarily think he's improved, and in some facets, I think he's gotten a little bit worse from what I saw at Ohio State. So I'll say I think that's probably going to be their goal, is to, right, like, clean up what was he learned in his first couple years in the pros, and then you know, figure it out kind of moving forward with Justin Fields. I definitely think it's a good move for them in that he has much more upside than Kenny Pickett ever will have, and younger. So good on them from their perspective. But agreed, from Chicago's perspective, I don't think it makes any sense. I at some point, someone's going to be far more desperate than Pittsburgh was at that very moment. I mean, they were just getting rid of a quarterback. They just shipped off a quarterback. They didn't necessarily need a backup right now. I think they would have been fine. You know, they've been known to go with the likes of Mitchell Trubisky or Devlin Hodges, or I don't think they're that concerned about having the best backup quarterback in the world, because it's going to be a defense run game driven team anyways. Backup quarterback, sure, it's an important position. I'm sure that Tomlin would say it's incredibly important to position, and it is, but end of the day, I don't think this Pittsburgh Steelers were the most desperate to get a backup quarterback at this juncture. But Chicago seemed a little desperate to get their quarterback off the roster, which I don't necessarily, I mean, maybe that would make Caleb Williams uncomfortable, but I think he's a better competitor than that. And I don't think it would have caused an issue to hold on to him, wait for someone to go down at some point early in the season, and then kind of make a move and potentially have more leverage for Chicago. So, strange situation, but I think it's a good move for Pittsburgh.
Well, let's get to this aspect of it real fast, Chris. Two things for you. One, now that we know it's either going to be Russell Wilson or Justin Fields throughout the 2024 season, what does that do for George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth, and, you know, kind of touch on Tip's point earlier, how do you see the mix with Arthur Smith with either one of these two quarterbacks?
I mean, to the first point, I don't think either quarterback starting is necessarily going to change with one and how, you know, better about fantasy value per se. I think George Pickens is going to be number one receiver right now on this team, unless they add somebody substantial. There is some rumors about that, but that's kind of where they sit right now. Pat Freiermuth, I think we all agree, definitely had a down year last year, but as a tight end who's good, he does block, so he'll be on the field for Arthur Smith, so we know he's actually going to play, which is good. He's not, so therefore, like, we have no Kyle Pitts thing doesn't apply there. So I think it's going to be, you know, Russ can throw it to the tight ends. He's going to throw it to a big receiver. He's showing that Courtland Sutton had 10 touchdowns last year. He's had historically, you know, good years with tight ends as well. So I think overall it's a good fit for either quarterback. To the Arthur Smith point, Dan, I'm a little concerned about the Arthur Smith development part. I want to agree with you. I was so excited about this move until everything I've heard from local reporting is that this is not only Russ's job. They're talking about extending Russ and that he has a chance to have.
They are.
And they're not going to renew Justin Fields' contract. They still might move forward with them, which to me was the whole thing, an elephant in the room, like this idea that you had to pick up the option. We saw Jordan Love last year, renegotiate his deal with Green Bay, take lesser money, still not getting, $50 million per se, but he still got a decent contract and it worked out. So I think this is something that, it's a smart move looking for Pittsburgh, except for it seems like Pittsburgh has in 7 days given Russell Wilson their team. And I'm not that part. I don't know how quickly Mike Tomlin moves on from that, because Mike Tomlin usually has to be forced to move on from horrible offensive coordinators, horrible different quarterback situations. He's going to play Mason Rudolph if he had this year, if it was up to him. So I'm a little concerned about Justin Fields overall. I agree with you, the talent. In my book, if he was in this draft, he'd be the fourth best quarterback, and that's ahead of Jaden Daniels. So I do think there's a lot of upside still to be had. I just think it's a shame the rest of the league didn't take advantage of it.
All right, Chase, give it to me from this standpoint. Let's go back and let's focus on the Bears. It's this, because this seals any notion we had about, whether or not they would take Caleb Williams, number one. Not that I think anybody really thought they wouldn't, but this seals the deal as far as that is going to be what happens here. And they've added some weapons, Keenan Allen, who we're going to talk about in a second. Mm. They've already had DJ Moore. They added DeAndre Swift. They had Cole Kmet. They added Gerald Everett. So what do you make of that situation for Caleb to walk into? What's your fantasy expectations there?
Well, it's a much, much, much better situation he's walking into than last year's number one pick walked into down in Carolina. They are doing it right now in Chicago, which is a little scary for me to say as a Packer fan. But, I mean, they are. They've got a ton of weapons around there for a young guy to come into and throw to. I mean, you can't get better to throw to than Keenan Allen and DJ Moore for a 1-2 punch there. I mean, who's number one, who's number two? Doesn't really matter because you got them both. They're both one capable. And as you said, Kmet, now they've got Everett there as well. They bring in DeAndre Swift, where they already had Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson. I mean, they've got a ton of talent on the skill positions there. They've got a decent offensive line that they are concentrating on as a point of emphasis, which is something that Carolina did not give Bryce Young last season. So a young quarterback, no matter who it is, whether it's Caleb, all indications look like it's going to be Williams, but no matter who walks in there, they're walking into a great situation compared to Bryce Young in 2023. So, I mean, it's still a rookie quarterback. You're still breaking him in right away. By all accounts here, it looks like it's going to be the rookie's job walking in the door here. They haven't really taken a step to add somebody that looks like they'll be really competition. They haven't even necessarily signed anybody that they think can mentor the guy yet, but he's got a ton of people to throw to. He's got a decent line in front of him, and they've got an up and coming defense on that team. It's a good situation.
Yeah, I tend to agree. So they're set up Caleb Williams. He will be fantasy sneaky relevant because of the weapons that he's going to have around him. Totally agree with that. And that should actually be a decent situation in Chicago for a change for a rookie quarterback. We're not used to seeing that. Just get my thoughts on the Steelers thing. I don't know what to make of it from the standpoint of, why did you bother trading for Justin Fields if you're not going to give him a legitimate shot to battle it out with Russell Wilson? Because you do have to figure out what he is. Otherwise, you will lose him for nothing, unless their plan is to trade him before we ever get to the season, which there has been some talk and some rumblings about that. It doesn't make any sense. First of all, look, you guys talk about all you want about Russell Wilson. He's washed. All right. It's done. It's over. He's been bad for 2 years. Sean Payton benched for Jared Stidham. That wasn't just a contract thing. He's a bum thing. So at this standpoint, you can't tell me that Russell Wilson's better than Justin Fields to begin with. Justin Fields, you have to decide if you're going to pick up his option for the future or not. He is the only option on that team right now who could be for the long term, because it's not Russell Wilson at his age, even if he were somehow to bounce back. So for this to not be a battle makes zero sense to me, which is why I throw my hands up and kind of, Chris, you touched on this. I look at Arthur Smith and I say to myself, you know how to make bad situations worse, and you guys are already kind of putting this to be a bad situation, which is why I'm starting to get really, really freaked out by this, because I thought if you go with Justin Fields, then maybe, okay, he knows how to get to his number one target. So George Pickens, maybe you actually have some upside. Now Deontay Johnson is out of the room. You can absolutely run RPO. Arthur Smith is built for that. He wanted Desmond Ridder to do that. Desmond Ridder just sucks. Justin Fields is not quite as bad. So you could actually get some things grounded out of that. Justin Fields, a top 12 quarterback based on on just his legs over the past season, even with terrible passing attacks. So from a fantasy standpoint, I wanted to see that. This whole thing became real murky real fast when they're having all this talk about Russell Wilson. Now, I don't know, that's just to pump him up, and then they'll actually have a real quarterback battle come training camp. We'll see. But this situation right now is making zero sense to me, and I stay away from zero-sensing situations myself. All right, so that was the big topic. I wanted to get everybody's opinion on the Justin Fields one. Now we're going to go a little bit more rapid fire, talking about Keenan Allen sticking with the Chicago Bears, because now, Chase, I'm going to come back to you, because you're talking about Caleb Williams. You're talking about, you know, what weapons they have around him. But now, what is Keenan Allen's fantasy value? We have DJ Moore there. We don't know exactly what the rookie quarterback's going to give you. Shane Waldron's a new face in the system as well. So there's a lot of new moving parts here. So what do you think about with Keenan Allen here?
There's a lot of moving parts there, but I still like Keenan Allen in fantasy. I'm not drafting him as a wide receiver one this year like he has in previous years. But I mean, you're talking about a guy who fantasy-wise in his career, no matter who his quarterback's been, he's averaged over almost 17 fantasy points a game. He catches 69% of the balls thrown to him. He's averaged, you know, a touchdown every 15 catches. You know, this is a good player. And he's going to function essentially as the number two receiver on this team. All right. So, I mean, they still got DJ Moore. Those guys are going to complement each other well. I would love to throw to him. I think I could even throw to him, and I'm 5'6", and I don't throw very well. I am not scared of Keenan Allen. He's probably more of a wide receiver two ceiling right now because of his role and because of the fact that there's going to be a rookie quarterback there, but I'm not scared away from him at all. In fact, if others are going to be scared away from him because of the rookie quarterback situation, because DJ Moore is there, heck, I'm glad to pick him up at a discount on draft day. I like Keenan Allen. He's still effective when he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to depend on what that discount, what is this ADP going to wind up being when we get closer to the real draft season? And I think that's going to be the big key here. Because for me, let's say you look at Keenan Allen's production last year when he's the wide receiver three on a points per game basis. Yeah. And they say, okay, well, maybe we're going to make him, let's say, wide receiver, I don't know, off the top of my head, 17. I feel like you'd be drafting him at his ceiling at that point. This is a guy who's averaged 10 targets a game over his career since 2017. And he's largely dependent upon that. This is not a double digit touchdown guy. This is not a big play guy down the field, and he's not going to be the number one target guy. And I don't think they're going to be throwing the ball enough for anybody to be getting 10 targets a game, frankly, in the system either. So from that standpoint, I'm looking at Keenan Allen. Your ceiling to me, the draft you as, would be a high end wide receiver too. Now, Tip, let me ask you this on the flip side, because we got to talk about the Chargers a little bit in this situation, man. Looking at Josh Palmer, or looking at Quentin Johnston. Is there anybody there you like, or are we saying, you know what, Greg Roman's going to play rugby ball and we don't care?
You know what? Greg Roman will play rugby ball because, you know, he brought Gus Edwards over there. So, you know, the Gus bus is still going to be in the mix. You know, the Chargers, to me, are just, you know what, we're tired of these older players. We're tired of these guys who, you know, not going to give us any production at their age. So we're going to get rid of them. They got rid of Mike Williams, got rid of Keenan Allen. They got rid of Austin Eckler, you know, all on the offensive side. So for me, they're like, all right, let's wash our hands of it. You know, we hate to see Keenan Allen go. I hated to see him go. And then now let's go ahead and bring in Quentin Johnston. By the way, the guy who had so many drops last year that it was terrible. But he was a rookie. You got to give him that shot. You got to say, okay, look, wait, we know you have the talent, kid. Let's go ahead and build up on that talent. So I don't really know who the hell the wide receiver to get is. You want to say it's Josh Palmer. Josh Palmer has not been the consistent, healthy guy as well. And he's had some issues, you know, staying on the field, but maybe that was because they had those other guys, and I think it was because Josh Palmer is a talented receiver. So you want to say it's Josh Palmer, but with Quentin Johnson's upside and his pedigree and the way he runs and can catch the ball, it could easily be him. So I'm kind of throwing my hands up. I'm just saying I'm not going to trust any of these guys. I got to see it. You know, if I draft any of these guys, it would be well past the 12th round just because I just want to see that by that time you're maybe my fifth or sixth wide receiver. So, yeah. You know, if it's somebody there on the bench that I want to just stash, I'm stashing him there. And then if he starts to blow up, I'm going to try to trade him because I know as soon as I trade him, I'm gonna hopefully return on that benefit.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Whichever one's ranked lower, that's the one I'm probably gonna be more likely to take when we start to get into these drafts, because it could be either one. And frankly, we don't know even how valuable that will be with this offense potentially. Adam, let me get to you, man. Calvin Ridley signs with the Tennessee Titans for a robbery of guaranteed money that I cannot believe that this man got for being a very, very up and down season. But when you're looking at Calvin Ridley, he joins DeAndre Hopkins, Chikonkwo, now Tony Pollard, we talked about last week with Tajay Spears. And at the head of it all, we have Brian Callahan and Will Levis. So when you break this down, you look at Calvin Ridley here, we're trying to focus in on him. What is his fantasy output in your mind heading into this season?
I think this is, and when I looked back at his past season, I really didn't expect to like it that much. I think he did better than the numbers suggest. I think he was a better receiver than the numbers suggest. I think the coaching in Peterson, who I've stuck up for at times in the past, I think he did a terrible job rolling him out, limiting him to just go be a deep threat, go do this, go. Yep. And it's not the things that he's good at. He's a great flanker. He's not necessarily that guy that's like your traditional X. He can be a one, but he can't necessarily spend every down being an X. You move him around, you play him sometimes the slot, you let him play on the flank sometimes. And he was very static, like an X that goes deep and draws people deep, and that's it. And once Kirk was down, he was like the only NFL quality wide receiver left. We're playing special teamers around him. So I want to give Calvin Ridley credit as still having the talent and the ability to be an NFL player. A high quality, high level NFL player. I believe in Calvin Ridley. Looking back at it now that I've had some time to digest the season. However, I think this fit is terrible. I like DeAndre Hopkins. I like Calvin Ridley. I like Treylon Burks all separately. But to put a rookie quarterback and to mix those three, neither of them are getting great separation. Hopkins and Ridley, were two of the bottom 10 in the NFL in separation for those that qualified. And Burks probably would have been there if he did qualify. Just being honest, I like those guys, but I think it's a redundancy in the skill sets that you have here, and that these are guys who are great route runners. They're strong-handed. They, outside of Burks, who's not quite there as a route runner yet, but the other things apply in being strong-handed, physical receivers, guys who can do certain things. But when you surround a rookie quarterback and a guy who, in my opinion, lacks the ability to, you know, throw guys open, to throw into tight windows and read things very, very quickly, I think you need guys who can separate to make things a little bit easier on him. And I don't trust him to throw into the small windows that you're going to get with guys like Ridley and Hopkins and this whole trio. So I just think this passing offense isn't going to function very well. Like, they need the easy outlet for him. I think Ridley's good, but don't think the offense is going to function.
Well, the issue with the offense is that offensive line, and that needs to be a focal point.
The worst offensive line in the game.
You can't separate, and we have no time.
Yeah, you have no time, and you can't separate.
Separation.
Like, okay, what you going to do? You know, it's almost like, yeah, they okay, now let's add Tony Pollard. He's got a little speed. He's got more, you know, yeah, that's not going to work. That offensive line is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your point about redundancy in the skill set, Adam, we talked about it last week between Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, and now you're doing the same damn thing downfield. It's going to have to be all these short routes and quick hitters, and his average depth of target, like you said last year, was gigantic compared to what it's going to be this year.
I think as a result of that, the separation will increase for Ridley. Don't get me wrong. I think that's a tainted metric because of how he was used.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to just become like a Hollywood Brown that's separating like crazy, or a Deontay Johnson, Elijah Moore. Like, that's not happening. I think he'll separate more than he did last season. We're talking marginal. Like, it's not going to fix Will Levis's ability to throw into tight
windows. And Calvin Ridley, Calvin Ridley's good. He can fight, but he's not 6'4", where he's going to be going way up over the top of guys. And yeah, I agree.
Let me get to Chris, because Chris was trying to chime in there. What you got, man?
No, I just want to say the windows. Look, Adam, Will Levis isn't going to hit. We all agree he's not super accurate. So to me, it's not about the windows. It's about those guys who can catch the ball and contest the situations, because Will Levis is going to fire it to a spot hard. And if you can catch it, that's going to be the part they're looking for. And I think that you're going to see a team, to Dan's point of the coaching staff, this team loves a throw. Look what Jake Browning did for that Cincinnati offense. And I love to throw short to a bunch of guys who get open with strong hands. That's what it uses. That's why I start using the tight ends. I don't think this is as bad as everybody's trying to make it to be. I know Will. I don't like Will Levis personally, but I also think if you're going to try to make Will Levis successful, there's two different routes you can go. You can go, he's going to be deep and throw it all deep. I think Josh Allen kind of showed with Trent Sheffield and Deonte Hardy and all the guys they added in Buffalo last year. That, who do you want to throw it to? The tight end. That's because you need a guy who can run a route and you can fire to a spot. So to me, this is what they're trying to emulate in a lot of ways. I don't think it's as bad necessarily as, you know, maybe a, you know, Calvin Ridley thing. I understand Dan's point. It's a lot of money, but New England had to bid for something.
Tennessee, that is. I know.
That's why they're competing for the money, though.
I tend to lean more towards Adam when he's talking about the redundancy of it and it not working out well. You get talking about a guy, Adam, to your point, 84th in target separation and 59th in route win rate. So he's not even winning on his routes. He's not that great of a contested catch guy. So Chris, to your point with the Will Levis thing, he does need a window. You do need to put it in a tight spot for him, and it's not going to happen with Will Levis. I totally disagree with that. So, and you got Hopkins here, who you're already going to have the rapport with. I don't think Calvin Ridley's number one receiver on this team. I think DeAndre Hopkins is, because you already built that rapport with him a season ago. And Ridley, as number one receiver, with Christian Kirk missing half the year, he was still no better than wide receiver 26 on a fantasy points per game basis. So not even a cumulative stat, on an actual points per base basis, this guy is a wide receiver 3. So when we look at this from a fantasy standpoint, I don't like this for Calvin Ridley. I think you're sitting back at a wide receiver 3 again this season. And all it does is cut enough into DeAndre Hopkins, or he probably wants kind of in the same area as a wide receiver 3 is himself. And that's probably the cap of what you're looking at for those two. And I don't see much more potential outside of that unless one of them gets hurt. And God forbid Treylon Burks actually stays healthy and we got to spread the ball out even more to another guy who doesn't separate. So I'm kind of more on that mindset where I think this is going to turn into more of a cluster and a who's who's kind of weak when you're not going to be able to know who to play. But on the flip side of this, we had on the Jaguar side and kind of bleeds into our next guy is Gabe Davis. So Chris, I want to get to you here with Gabe Davis going to Jacksonville. Now that we know Calvin Ridley is not going to be there, you have Zay Jones, you have Gabe Davis, you have Christian Kirk. Does Gabe get any extra value here making this move, or is he just Gabe?
I think he gets some extra value because Adam's a point about Calvin Ridley, the routes he was running, that's what Gabe Davis does best. He's able to run those routes. And if you're going to have decent numbers from Calvin Ridley, the guy who was trying to fit a role he wasn't really good at, and he had decent numbers fantasy-wise, why can't Gabe Davis have a stud? I don't think you're going to have the guy who's going to be necessarily, you know, you're going to be featuring game in, game out. I think Christian Kirk will be the guy who's benefits that you can make more consistent of the receivers you're looking for. But Gabe Davis, I think, actually has a chance to be a guy that can be involved in the offense. Look, I don't know what happened in Buffalo, but I watched this guy have some good, great games, including in the playoffs. And I don't think he's untalented. So I think there's a lot of parts of where you just didn't give him a chance in Buffalo outside of Stephon Diggs and certain reads in the offense. Maybe he gets a chance now that you're one of your better receivers on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, because I don't think Doug Peterson's any better than a Ken Dorsey is calling plays as far as that goes. And I don't think Trevor Lawrence is certainly not better than Josh Allen.
He's not a step up from Josh Allen, no.
And he's got more mouths in front of him because Evan Engram is a factor all season long, not like Dalton Kincaid for a six-game stretch. And you do have Christian Kirk there who gets as many targets as Stephon Diggs does. You do have Zay Jones, who's better than any third receiver Buffalo Bills had. So I think there's even less to go around on top of it. Except who you're going to say.
And you also have, you have a situation in my eyes is Gabe Davis has talent. Okay. He's in the NFL. But to me, Calvin Ridley is more talented. So you have a more talented receiver in Calvin Ridley. Then you saw how up and down he was last year, how inconsistent he was. And then they just said, Doug Peterson, you add him into the mix. And it's just it doesn't make any sense for me as a Gabe Davis owner. I'm trying to shop him off my team right now. I'm like, dude, give me what you can give me. Because, and then another point that you guys made, it's a quarterback downgrade. Josh Allen, who's a gunslinging, accurate, just will chunk it, and that's what Gabe Davis will get points off of. And you got this Trevor Lawrence situation where, yeah, he was rated high coming into the league, but I don't know, man. And not to mention the very last thing, Evan Engram. I mean, you got a tight end who's getting targeted like crazy. Like, like wide receiver one targets, and doing stuff with it and actually staying healthy. So it's just, I'm all out on Gabe Davis, man. All out.
Yeah, I don't know how much, this is somebody, again, he's probably going to be valued later on in drafts anyway, so if you are taking him, it's probably a shot. I tell you who I do value a hell of a lot. Chris, you mentioned him, Christian Kirk. This is a guy who's a year removed from being a top 12 wide receiver on a fantasy points per game basis. He goes back to being the clear number one target on that team, and he didn't need a lot. Remember, 2022, he had a 24% team target share. Last year, it was only 2% less than the games he was actually active for, so as long as he stays healthy and he gets that extra 2%, we're looking at Christian Kirk potentially being a big value next season. Chase, let's go to you for Marquise Hollywood Brown. He does make the sign. He moves over to Kansas City. You know, the dreamland where we all want every wide receiver to go to this misfit group of boys and hope that something pops out of it. That's what we look for all the time. We get that in Hollywood Brown. So when you look at this, as he bounce back, now that he's on the Kansas City Chiefs, how does that whole thing fit in your mind?
Well, I don't think he can help but bounce back. I mean, he's coming off his worst fantasy season of his career in terms of points per game, in terms of his overall, you know, performance there. He's going to one of, if not the best quarterback in the game, which is a big step up from what he dealt with last year between Josh Dobbs and the mishmash they had there, and then finally Kyler Murray coming in, but he was not healthy for the whole year. In fact, he's had trouble staying on the field for the last 2 years. He's missed a couple of games both years. If he could stay healthy, this is a big step up for him. I like the way that he'll fit into that offense. I think he brings them something that they don't have right now, something that I think they wished MVS, Marcus Valdes-Scantling, would have brought to them, but never has been able to provide on a consistent basis going back to Green Bay. Rice can now operate underneath. Kelsey can operate as Kelsey operates, and Hollywood can now take the top off of that defense and run those deep routes for them and give them that dimension that they have not really had consistently in the last couple of years there. So between a quarterback upgrade with Mahomes and the fit in the offense, I think it has to be a bounce back for him. Now, that being said, a bounce back and for, you know, Hollywood Brown, you're still talking about a guy whose ceiling is probably 14, 15 fantasy points a game. He's still a wide receiver three type for me, but I do like how he fits in this offense. He will be better than he has given you the last couple of years. So don't be afraid to take him. I'll tell you, I'll probably be nailing him in best ball leagues. I will be very happy to have him on my rosters in best ball leagues right now. Depending on where his ADP falls by the time that we get around to redraft, people might be a little too hopped up on him for me to be taking him he may be getting drafted as a wide receiver two or wide receiver one type. And he's, like I said, I believe he's a wide receiver three, but this will be a good year for him in the grand scheme of things.
As he pops the beer. No, yeah, he's best ball friendly for sure, because I don't want to have to worry about him being healthy. He's only had two seasons in his entire career. He's been able to play all the way through. And I don't want to worry about when those big games may or may not come. I guess that's my thing with Marquise Brown. I was a huge fan of his in college, but now I have to ask myself, are you overrated as a player? Only 1 year where he had a 1,000-yard season. He never had more than 8 touchdowns in a single season. And he's had years where he's been the number one guy on a team with a decent quarterback in Lamar Jackson, who just won a second MVP. So I have to start asking those questions, I think. Tip, I'm going to get your opinion on this, and then I'll jump to Adam for the fallout aspect. I'm going to talk to Marquise Brown later, so we'll get to you later.
I truly, truly, truly believe when I saw this drop just a few minutes after the Keenan Allen dropped, I was like, oh my God. I put a post out there immediately because I was just sitting at the house watching Superbad, just chilling. And bro, I saw this and I said, his value will skyrocket. His fantasy value is going to go through the roof now because he's tied to this one guy, Patrick Mahomes. And I truly, truly think that he can return. Oh, wow. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think he could be a top 15 wide receiver if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, I think that's crazy.
Got to be healthy. He's got to be on the field. He can't this. I know he's got this foot injury, but he's got to be on this field. And if he gets on this field, I don't see why he can't have a career year, 1,200 yards, maybe 9 touchdowns, as long as this guy stays healthy in that offense. Because you know Andy Reid's going to utilize him the correct way. You know he's got Patrick Mahomes. They got a decent offensive, or a really good offensive line, decent run game. Yeah.
I will say this too, though, even when he's on the field, he's going to have to start performing better. He's been 86 in route win rate over the past two seasons, 58th in target separation, which is really low for a guy who depends on his speed to get open because he's not going up over the top on anybody. So those are things I think he does need to play better even when he is on the field. So we'll be talking more about him throughout the
year. Look, I will say this, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid will correct that.
I think that's what most people would hope for if you're looking for the pop on that. Adam, going to you, though. So Marquise Brown, he signs, he goes away. So he vacates the 22% team target share over on the Arizona Cardinals. Not that everybody wasn't already having them plan on taking Marvin Harrison before this, but does this solidify in your mind that it would, in fact, be Marvin Harrison Jr.? And if it is, what's your breakdown between a guy like that and a Trey McBride going into the next season?
Yeah, I think it does solidify that. And look, I think that's going to make it an honestly pretty interesting receiver group where I don't necessarily think the teams are going to key in too hard on those guys. You've heard me talk about, I think Dortch can be a pretty solid slot in this league. Michael Wilson was good at times last year. And of course, Trey McBride broke out and I think has the potential to be one of the best tight ends in the league rather quickly. So I think this is a good spot for Marvin Harrison Jr. to jump in and be someone that, candidly, Kyler can see going down the field. He's a big body for him to throw and get the ball to. I mean, we saw in their brief run where they were both healthy and both playing good football that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins just offering like that kind of physical receiver outlet that he can just be like, all right, I need to get ball out now. Like, go.
He's down there somewhere.
That type of option. And now having two of them potentially in both Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., I think that's going to be really good. And I have concerns about how this offense could be constructed, but I think there's potential for it to be really good because I think there's pieces here to make this work, like functionally. And I think that, you know, what I saw in the last half of the season when Kyler came back, there were some ups and some downs, but I think that what I needed to see to have, you know, some faith, I saw there were certainly some things that caused doubt for sure. But I think that things could work out. I also think that Arizona is one of the worst run organizations on the long-term basis. So like there's plenty of ways that this could all fall apart.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. And when you say you see him downfield, I just pictured like a little minion throwing to like a tower of minions. Like,
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Standing up on his box.
But in any case, just to kind of back up your point, I will love both Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison from the standpoint of the volume's going to go their way. Murray has gotten the number one receiver on his team fantasy relevant before, a la DeAndre Hopkins. Again, they vacated a 22% team target share. I think Marvin Harrison would jump right into that. Trey McBride had 29% team target share from weeks 8 to 18 at the end of the second half of the season, which is just insane for a freaking tight end. So these are both fantasy assets that are like a lot, I think, going into next season. But this is what I want to do. Take a quick break, come back on the other side. We're all going to go through our number one riser and faller after this offseason. So everybody stay tuned to the Operation Domination show right after this. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into today's show. And if you want to show us some support, all you have to do is go to whatever podcast app that's your favorite and download the Operation Domination show. And when you do that, please leave us a 5-star review. And it really helps us out. Shows your support, but also when you leave us a review, it helps us better serve you and we can make a show more curtailed to what you, the audience, wants because you are the most important member of the show. So again, thanks for taking the time out. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, OP Domination on YouTube. And if you listen to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review. Or if you want, you can go to podchaser.com/podcast/Operation Domination below. That way, it's always in our bio and you can help support the show. Thank you very much. All right. So it's time for our risers and fallers. We're just going to start with the guest tip. What is your biggest riser? Who is your biggest faller?
So for me, my biggest riser is definitely going to be, wow. Again, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm saying it, but as far as from a fantasy standpoint, I think it's going to be Russell Wilson. I really think that this offense is gonna put it together. I think that Russell Wilson is gonna have his mind right. I think that he has no choice but to have his mind right. Mike Tomlin's gonna be there. They just signed Justin Fields. We talked a lot about Justin Fields. I feel like Russell Wilson still has a lot left in the tank.
That's a bold statement.
I'm here for the bold hot takes, man. And look, I will say this. Russell Wilson still has some left in the tank. They brought in Arthur Smith. They're going to utilize the run game to kind of help him out a little bit. You're going to one of the top defenses in the league. Okay, so you're going to get the ball back because they're opportunistic. They're going to give you the ball back in good position. And then not only that, Mike Tomlin just seems like he commands so much more respect to me than Sean Payton does. Sean Payton's kind of like a guy who just take me or leave me. I don't care if you like me or not. You don't have to respect me. That's the way I feel. That's the way I perceive him up. And from hearing him on TV, Mike Tomlin's the type of dude like, I want to give you respect, but you're going to have to earn my – like, you're going to have to earn it, and it's going to have to be both ways. And, you know, he's just – he's more of a – to me, he's more of a player's coach. A lot of players love to play for him. He could be a little lenient at times, but I still think that he's still hard-nosed as ever. So I really think that it's Russ Wilson. I think he's going to really come out balling out. And it's a tough division. That's the only thing. That division's tough, and Russell Wilson's going to have to really dig in deep. Really dig in deep. And I think that he has no opportunity, no chance, no choice but to do it.
So who's your faller, Justin Jefferson?
No, I mean, we're talking about players that have moved. So my faller is my faller is Ramondre Stevenson, man. So I'm a big Ramondre Stevenson guy. I love Ramondre. He's one of my favorite players to watch. But now you add Antonio Gibson, you got Jacoby Brissett there. They got some familiarity. So if they're on the same team, it pretty much knocks Ramondre Stevenson's third down out of there. I think he's done. I think he's a first, second down back. He might get a third down here or there for a breather, but I think Antonio Gibson is going to come in there and just take all third downs from him right off the bat. And that's going to really kind of hurt because Antonio Gibson is not a bad running back when he has the ball in his hand and he doesn't drop it. He's a good running back. He's fast.
It's
he's
key phrase right there, but yeah.
But he has shown that he can do it. So I think that they're going to look at that talent. They're going to see that talent. They're going to be desperate because they need to try to turn this thing around as quick as possible. They're going to utilize all of their weapons, and Antonio Gibson to me is a weapon. So I feel like that's going to kind of hurt Ramondre a little bit, man. It sucks to say that because that's one of my favorite players to watch. I love watching Ramondre.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Chris, who's your biggest riser? Who's your biggest faller?
Yeah, so we touched upon my biggest riser. Marquise Brown, to me, is definitely my biggest riser. Look, Dan, you pointed out the different situations and where he hasn't necessarily been as fantasy relevant. I'll just also point out he was when he was in Baltimore when he had his those years. Who was his offensive coordinator? Greg Roman. We're all seeing what he's doing. The Chargers, passing attack right now. I think he's been freed in a sense, and a tip kind of pointed out. There's other person other than Patrick Mahomes involved in the situation. That's Andy Reid. Andy Reid shows an affinity for throwing guys. So like people like DeSean Jackson historically, he loves that deep threat. He loves the opportunity to be able to spread the field. I think this is a great fit for Marquise Brown. I don't think it's going to hurt Rashee Rice or anybody else. But I think now you have Patrick Mahomes who can actually play like Patrick Mahomes versus a guy who was basically a game manager last year.
And the faller.
My followers, it was hard to find ones. I went with a guy I actually got on the move, so I was looking at different situations. There's definitely other guys that I think have suffered, like Ramondre Stevenson. But I'm going with Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett was a guy that maybe you could throw in your lineup here or there as a tight end option. That days are over. Going to the Bears is a basically fifth option, if that. Tight end twos there have done nothing for the last few years. They went out and got Tanya last year. They brought other guys. Cole Clement's going to be the guy number one. So I think Joe Everett's a guy that just basically has been phased off the fantasy radar.
And for thank God, because I'm tired of having to
talk. Dan, I'm trying to throw it out there too. Like, I agree.
Him and the Kenny Pickett and just be like, goodbye. Thank you. All right, Chase, what do you got? Riser and faller?
All right. Well, my biggest riser, we've already touched on it, but I'm going back to Pittsburgh here. I'm going to kind of piggyback maybe a little bit off of what Tip talked about there. But my biggest riser here, who I think gained the most here, is George Pickens, because I really like the situation that he's stepping into now. I agree with Tip. It's a big step up for them quarterback-wise between Russell Wilson and Kenny Pickett. Dan, I don't necessarily – I don't think you and I see eye to eye necessarily on how Russ played last year. I don't think Russ played all that terribly last year. I don't think he was the problem in Denver. I think that team has deeper issues than it wasn't just Russ. Okay. He didn't play all that poorly. He's definitely a step up in terms of his career, you know, averages and the way that he handles a game. He's definitely a step up from Kenny Pickett. Okay. So I really like the fact that George Pickens is there now and he gets to be the number one. You're talking about, you know, they gave away Deontay Johnson, but I mean, he's freeing up about 100. He averaged over his career over 140 targets a year. That's free now for anybody else who's on that team. And the only receiver really they've brought in is Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson ain't taking targets away from George Flickman Pickens. Okay. So Pickens now has all of those targets that he can absorb. All right. He averages almost 2 points, fantasy points a target, 1.97. If he can get those 140 targets, that's 277 fantasy points a year. That's a top 12, top 10, top 12 type wide receiver in this league. He's got that capability right now. He's going to be catching passes from a quarterback that's better than the guy that he's had his first 2 years in the season. Now, it's Arthur Smith. We know he's going to want to run the ball. But like I said, Russ's career completion percentage is almost 65%. He's a more accurate, better passer than what they were going to be seeing with Kenny Pickett there. I think this moves Pickens from the flex play that he's kind of been in his career so far over the first 2 years. He's got every possibility to be a full wide receiver number one in this offense, in this league, with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So he's definitely my biggest riser.
Okay, so what do you got as a faller?
My biggest faller is his teammate now and Russ's backup, Justin Fields, because like we said before, and we touched on a lot of points.
Wilson Jr., just a minute. You want to say Russell Wilson Jr.? Okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, Russell Wilson Jr., it's fine. But here's the thing. With Russell Wilson being there, they've already said that he's going to be the starter at the beginning of the season. I just told you, I don't think he played as poorly as I think a lot of us felt he did when you actually look at what he did last season. Now, you think about it like this, that they've already said he's a starter, so he's coming into the season as the backup. Then you get Jerry Dulock from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporting this weekend that both sides, Russ and the Steelers, both have interest and have talked about an extension at the end of this season. So they are not looking at him as just a bridge quarterback. They are not just looking at him as a short-term solution. You questioned earlier why they would bring Justin Fields in. They give up a sixth-round pick for him. They give up a sixth-round pick for a guy who's been a starting quarterback in the league for 2 years to be their backup, and they only have to pay their starter third-string guard money this season. That's why you make that move, because now you have given yourself the ultimate insurance policy. Now, I know that Justin Fields is the number two quarterback now, and the number two quarterback is always the most popular guy on the team, but I don't think that he's going to I don't think that Mike Tomlin is going to rush to get Justin Fields on the field if Russell Wilson has a bad game. Mike Tomlin has made a career out of not making those kinds of knee-jerk reactions. So I really am worried about Justin Fields' value, not just this season, but if that extension happens, I'm worried about him going forward. Is he going to find a starting job next season then if Pittsburgh lets him go? If he stays in Pittsburgh, is he still staying behind Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson is still there? What I'm worried about is if you've got him in Dynasty, you're in the same position that the Bears found themselves in last week before they traded him, where you've got this great asset. You want to get a lot back for him, but nobody wants to offer you a whole hell of a lot for him. So if you trade him now, you're going to have to get less than his value. This is a guy who is a top 10, top 12 type quarterback, like you said, based on his legs alone. And you're not going to get what you feel you should be getting for a guy of that level back in trade right now as it stands, because he's a quarterback too. You kind of have no choice but to hang on to him right now, but you're not getting anything out of him for at least a year, possibly two or maybe later, maybe he becomes Geno Smith and has to take a few years of not being a starter, comes back and wows us all. But honestly, his best case scenario, which is not Pittsburgh's best case scenario and is not necessarily the best fantasy case scenario, his best scenario is that the team struggles this year and he does have to get in there and play a little bit so that he plays sooner than 2 years down the road. I'm worried about Justin Fields from a fantasy standpoint. I like him as a quarterback. I think Chicago made the wrong move, but I'm glad that I do not have him on any of my 21 dynasty rosters right now.
It's hairy to say the least. Adam, let's go to you, buddy. What's your biggest riser and faller?
So I was definitely going to also join Chris on Hollywood Brown. So I'm going to pivot here and talk about, I think this is the theme of the episode so far, right? And it's the receiver that has perennially throughout their career been misused. We talked about some guys earlier in the episode. We didn't even really talk on too much about how Arizona wanted Marquise Brown to be the guy that was playing X and getting pressed on. And that's most of the reason why that fell apart. It would have been my monologue here, but how about another guy in a very similar vein who was on the move? And finally, I think it definitely has gone to a position where that X void is filled and doesn't have to be forced into dumb situations. And that's Darnell Mooney moving down to Atlanta. I think this is the type of space where he actually can be a very fantasy viable asset. What I think this offense has the potential to be is the version of the Rams offense prior to Cooper Kupp coming back, right? Where London can kind of play a lot of the things that Puka does, the crossers, some of the big slot stuff that Puka did at times, some of the short underneath stuff when he came out. Chris, you know, when we were doing the show together, I always talked about he's the ideal, the prototype for like that West Coast style type receiver. I think that's what Drake London brings to the table. And I think he can be as good as Puka Nacua in that type of role. And I think Darnell Mooney, for all of his flaws, and he sure does have them, he's way better than Tutu Atwell in the role that he was doing at the beginning of last season. I think that could be a very good role for him. I think he can be a really good flanker type receiver. I think that both London and him can play the slot. So this is an offense that if they want to get creative, and coaches in the Rams tree have done in the past and move guys in and out of the slot, like there's a lot of options, a lot of versatility here, because London, I think you can play wherever you want, whether that's an X, he's great there. He can separate for a big guy, but also he can play as a big slot and do a lot of interesting things there. And then Mooney can be your smaller slot, beat zone really well, not quite as good as man. He has the same problem as Hollywood Brown getting off of press, but against zone, guy that can sit down. And then against man, when you can get him off the line of scrimmage, whether that's in the slot or in kind of a flanker role, and you can beat guys deep. So I think that's going to give Kirk a lot of options. I think this offense could be pretty exciting depending on how they play it out.
Okay. I like that point. Who's your faller?
For faller, I think it's got to be Jordan Addison. I mean, he finished as a wide receiver too, and now he has Sam Darnold as quarterback, and he's third in the pecking order behind Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson. I don't think we need to spend all that much time on talking about how that's a massive downgrade in situation. We talked about what, you know, Kirk is bringing to Atlanta in a vague way just a moment ago with Darnell Mooney. Kirk leaving Minnesota is a death knell for a receiver that I really liked coming out of college, and I think showed a lot of good things as a rookie, especially prior to Justin Jefferson going down. I mean, he wasn't quite ready to take on that mantle. Nobody really is. It's Justin Jefferson. But as a two, he's very, very capable, and I think can do a lot of good things in this league. But I don't think they're going to happen this year. I think maybe, you know, we're looking at like a 10 to 15% drop on Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson, and we're like, fingers crossed if you have one of those guys and calling that a success. But Jordan Addison, I mean, that's got to be a free fall. Like, I can't. He was a guy that late in the season, when you got desperate, you could feel like, all right, like, I'm not getting torched if I have to play this guy. He's not seeing like play time on rosters this year, I don't think.
I tend to agree with you there. God forbid they don't want to draft the quarterback, man. If it's Sam Darnold back there, I mean, I don't think he's much better than the ridiculousness they were throwing out there with Kirk Cousins to begin with. And I was just kind of writing up an article on this the other day, to your point, without Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson on the field, Addison was only seeing 5 targets a game. That ain't going to get it done from a fantasy standpoint. So I hear you on that. All right, so let's get to my biggest riser, my biggest faller. My biggest riser has to be Joe Mixon, because this guy was a breath away from being a nail in a coffin pretty soon. And all of a sudden, he gets rejuvenated because now he gets to go to Houston. And then not only does he go to Houston in a situation where they need a lead running back, and he's going to be that, but he also gets paid a 3-year, $27 million deal. Now, that part's not important, but what's important about it is the $13 million guaranteed. It guarantees he's the guy this year, maybe even the guy next year. So this is somebody who is about to be fantasy irrelevant to possibly having now 2 years of being the lead guy. And while no, he's not the most explosive type, he fits well in this system. And we know that as long as you give him volume, he can continuously falls into that high in RB2, low in RB1 territory by the end of the season, because by the end of the season, he's got double digit touchdowns. He's got over 1,000 yards rushing. He's got 50 targets. So Joe Mixon comes through in a big way with his landing spots, and he's just efficient enough to continue that. He's always been really good in the red zone too, that being a big part of it. My biggest faller is Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, I feel bad for you. I do. I really, really do. Greg Roman's going to neuter your nuts, and there's nothing you can do about it, dude. Look, Roman has never been more than top 9 was the highest. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Always top 9 or higher in rush attempts. Always. Never more than 29th in pass attempts for a team when it was the Baltimore Ravens. I think he had 1 year with the 49ers, a really, really bad year, where he was top 10 in pass attempts that year because they had no choice because they had to come back from behind in so many games. But that was like by far the biggest it ever had been as far as the pass volume is concerned. Now we don't know exactly who they're going to take, because if they're building this team in their image, we know it's either going to be an offensive lineman or they're going to trade back in that first round of the draft, and it's not going to be a wide receiver. I'm here to tell you that. So you're hoping, fingers crossed, if you have Justin Herbert, maybe it's Brock Bowers. He can save himself a little bit that way. But this guy also is not Lamar Jackson or Colin Kaepernick when it comes to being a dual threat. I know Greg Roman made some vague comment about, oh, what happens if Justin Herbert runs a little bit more? He's mobile, but he's not a dual threat guy, and he's not going to be on that same level. He's not a Josh Allen. He's not a Jalen Hurts. Maybe he could be a mobile guy in the sense of Patrick Mahomes, but he's not going to have that volume with that passing production to go along with it. So now all of a sudden we're talking about a guy who's been perennially a top 10 quarterback to maybe going back to what he was 2020 as a QB15. No, I'm sorry, 2021 when he was a QB15. And I think that's what we might be seeing now with Justin Herbert. He's going to be the most overpaid game manager in the game, period. So that, unfortunately, is going to have to wrap up the show. We're not going to be able to get to guys like Mike Williams or Devin Singletary. Goes into another episode, because we got to call it here soon. So much we had to talk about. I mean, I know it's an hour is up already. But Sip, man, I want to thank you for coming on. I want you to tell the audience where to follow you at and what it is you're working on right now you want everybody to check out.
Yeah, well, first I'm working on getting that basement that Chase has. That's the first thing after that. I got to get that, man. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you guys so much, man. I would love to do it again. Love to do more, have more time. But you can find me at Tip Major. Like I said, I'm doing podcasts tomorrow on Thursdays with the Sports Affiliation Thursday Checkdown with Greg Kellogg, Hall of Famer. I also have the Rip and Tip space that I'm doing on Live Take with my guy, Michael Rippey. High Point Content Creation Team. That's where I put out most of my videos for the Las Vegas Raiders, working with them and Dez Bryant. That's been fun. And then, of course, Bob Harris. Can't wait to start working back with him when the season starts. But another thing that I've also been working with is a company called Generations Fantasy. And it's an app where we could play fantasy football all year round. You play with current players and you play with NFL legends. So you can have somebody like on one of my teams, I think I had Emmitt Smith and LaDainian Tomlinson, and then my other running back was Josh Jacobs. I mean, like, you can actually play game like this. It's so much fun, guys. It brings a nostalgia back to fantasy football, and you know, I'm big on nostalgia. A lot of people are, so it kind of brings a little bit of nostalgia to. You can have multiple people playing, like, say, for instance, you can have the younger generation, or you can have the middle generation, like myself, and you can even have older people playing fantasy, because they'll be like, "Oh, Fran Tarkenton, I'm gonna pick him because that was my quarterback when I was a kid." And you know, like, it can spike up that type of conversation. Man. It's really, really, really cool, guys. Again, it's called Generations Fantasy. I appreciate you guys letting me talk about it, but yeah, man, it's gonna be some fun stuff. And one thing, Adam, I didn't want to not say, I see that Tame Impala album, bro. Hey, Tame Impala's cold, man. I love Tame Impala, man. Me and my girlfriend watched a video on YouTube of them, and they were just rocking out in this beach house. Like, it looked like it was off the coast of Hawaii or somewhere beautiful like that. And they were just rocking out, dude. And me and my girlfriend sat there and watched, you know, about an hour of it. And it was amazing, dude. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry, awesome. I'm a big music nerd too, no, so I'm sorry, guys.
That's awesome. I'm glad glad you saw that. That's cool.
That's fantastic.
Oh yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And that's very cool, your generation app there, because that is something that gets everybody talking about it. And it is like the history of the game, and that's something we don't really get to talk about too much because we're so focused on our fantasy football content when we're doing shows like this, that we're always looking towards the now and the future. We're not really reminiscing too much about the past. So I do like that. It's a very cool concept to go along with that. Chase, where we can follow you at, man, and Adam, you too.
Find me on @STTChaseFFB on X, Twitter, whatever you still want to call it. I'm still old school. I'm going to call the damn thing Twitter. But yeah, find me there. You can get my takes on, you know, on maybe some of the guys we didn't talk about today, Mike Williams, Devin Singletary and the like, but always on there. Give us all a follow there. It's good to see everybody. Tip, you talked about my background. I like your background, dude, with the kids drawings back there. I'm in this great setting, but I'm looking at a pile of toys taller than I am, which is bigger than it sounds, over that direction. So
that's awesome.
Good to meet you, man. But yeah, find me on Twitter and give me a follow, everybody.
Yeah. Same location at LaRue Adam. It's on the screen here if you need help with the spelling. And if you are not watching, you are missing out. So go look at the screen, see what's up.
Chris, real quick, why don't you talk about the fact that we're going to be having our draft special in Charlotte?
Woo. Yeah, Dan, we're not only going to have a one, but a two-day draft special. And Dan, one exciting thing is we will not have to wear our diapers. Well, we might want to, but we're going to be doing it live from a bar, similar to what Chase has got set up, except for we all get to be there celebrating with the audience. So we're really excited about our shows coming up in Charlotte. It'll be live, like I said, both night one and night two. So the first three rounds, we got you covered.
Yeah, that'll be on That Sports Podcast Network live events. We're going to have some guests like Mike Westhoff, former head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and some other players as well who will be joining us throughout the night. That's with Brian Scott, Injured List Podcast, along with a few others from there. So really looking forward to that live event, and we'll be getting you guys some more details as we get closer. Make sure you follow me at DanMaderFF. Make sure, more importantly, you subscribe to the show on YouTube. We are now available on every single podcast app out there. We launched last week. We'll be back next week because next week kicks off our NFL draft coverage. We're going to be breaking down the top quarterbacks and what our expectations are and our rookie rankings then. So that was kicking off our rookie draft series leading up to that NFL draft. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. We'll see you real soon, and everyone be good until then.